With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. We got a new episode of the Daily Ding here for you. Make sure y'all subscribe to our YouTube channel where we're live right now. Subscribe to our podcast network wherever you subscribe to podcast networks. I'm Will Guillory, a.k.a. some dude from the Athletic. I'm here with my guy, Mo Dakil.
I'm not taking that. We're not doing some dude from the Athletic. You want great coverage on the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, man, stop.
Will is your man. I don't want to hear some dude from the Athletic. You're the man, Will. Let's not. No, we need a better AKA. We're striving for better.
Hey, I appreciate that. I appreciate the love, my man. I was looking forward to this because we were supposed to have a fun night of basketball. We had one fun game. The second one we'll get to later. The first one, Boston and Philly, 95-86 for the Boston Celtics. Just a crazy game, Mo. It looked like Boston was out of it. My man Jason Tatum went from a zero to a hero, started off 0 for 10, 1 for 14, ends up going crazy in the fourth quarter. What was it like seeing Boston pull this out and extend the series to 7?
It was fascinating because you could kind of just hear through the course of the games the murmurs of Jason Tatum this, Jason Tatum, Jason Tatum's not the guy, Jason Tatum doesn't want it, 1 for 11 on the elimination game. Like, you could start to hear all of that through the course of the game. And it wasn't even like the fourth quarter started and Tatum started killing. It really wasn't until like the final 3 or 4 minutes where he started to hit some shots. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, he literally went from having a horrible offseason to hero. And now I get to see. Yeah.
Oh, it was going to be rough for him.
Brutal. The think pieces, they should build around Jaylen Brown instead of Jason Tatum. A million different things we would have heard across the board. But I mean, more important than that, this is a massive loss for the Sixers.
Brutal. Like,
this is devastating.
Horrible. I mean, it scored 13 points in the fourth quarter. Mo, I mean, Tatum had 16 by himself. It scored 13 points in the fourth quarter. You had the momentum behind you. Joel Embiid was flying all over the place, making plays, and they just the offense just died in the fourth quarter. I mean, I'm not sure what happened. They just couldn't get a bucket at all.
Yeah, it's, you know, I actually went back and looked at their last shots after they went up 83 to 81, you know, after a couple of free throws on the clear path foul. That was a huge call. And then you just look at it. Look, some of them were good shots. Some of them were okay shots. And some of them were bad shots. Some of them were shots that, you know, Embiid has an open three, instead dribbles in to take a pull-up contested two. Yeah. Like, there were things like that that you're just kind of like, damn, man, like, You gotta find some sort of rhythm. And this one hurts because just the pure chance of being able to finally get to the conference finals in the Embiid era and win this on your home court and beat Boston, which is a team that's been a thorn in your side forever, to have blown this opportunity and now have to go into Boston to win game 7, man, to get to the conference finals. Like, man, this one just feels not just like a blown opportunity, almost like a blown season just off of that game. And that might really be extreme for me, but.
Yeah, I mean, no, because, I mean, very few people thought Philly was going to win this game, I would say. I think nobody thinks they're going to win game seven in Boston, especially the way Tatum finished this game. You got to really feel for Embiid in particular, because it felt like this was going to be his moment. The guy never got out of the second round yet in his career. This felt like this was the best opportunity he's had to date, just game six with that crowd behind him. Tatum couldn't buy a bucket. Jaylen Brown literally didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter, which was surprising to me. But again, I feel like we got to get back to Tatum. At the end of the game, he says, you know, I'm one of the best players in the world. And he proved it just with even when he was missing all of those shots initially, I felt like he was doing other stuff to make his impact felt, right? He was getting rebounds. He was getting into the paint, blocking some shots on the perimeter. I felt like he remained active. He remained aggressive. And I think that's what allowed him to really break out at the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, 9 rebounds, 6 assists on the night for him, I think, goes a long way. I think it's nice to see. And actually, some people might have problems with the comments afterwards on a night when you go 5-21 to say you're one of the greatest in the world. I'm okay with it. You got to have that confidence, that short memory and whatnot. You know, some of those threes, the first three he made was a wild one. Which was, yeah. I'm pretty sure, like in Embiid's face. But then the next couple were like open looks that you got to take. And I think that's just the case there. I mean, he saved the day there. It's a wild one.
And now, you know, we look forward to game seven. Huge game for both of these teams, obviously. Huge moment and, you know, kind of a crossroads for both of these teams, right? With Boston going into their Jaylen Brown situation. Philly now with the questions with James Harden and, you know, Doc Rivers. Maybe another series of slipping away through his fingers.
Oh, God.
I mean, just what are you kind of expecting in this game seven and kind of the repercussions for both of these teams?
Yeah, I think this is a massive one because I think when you look at it from the Sixers, you know, playoff ghosts, right? Like James Harden in elimination games does not have the best track record. Doc Rivers blowing series leads does not have the best track record in these instances. You know, Joel Embiid never getting out of the second round it's kind of like this is playoff ghosts. Like they got to face their demons on this one. And it's incredibly tough. I don't know if they're going to be able to beat Boston in Boston. I can't imagine Tatum having as bad a shooting night as he had.
Yeah, right.
I think Boston's going to play better in general. I mean, they're due for. I mean, listen, they shot the ball pretty well from three. Shooting 42%. I still feel like they could even play a little bit better themselves. This is one of those things. Like, I think Game Seven, they're toss ups. I think the home crowd's going to be rocking. I don't know if the Sixers are tough enough to win in Boston game seven. I know they won two games already in Boston, but a game seven one, it might be different.
Yeah, game sevens are different. We know that. And that's why you go get a PJ Tucker, right? That's why you hope Tobias Harris can pick up where he left off in some of these previous games to bring that toughness that you're talking about.
You mean 1-for-7, Tobias Harris?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be extremely difficult to go into Boston and win a game seven. I feel like I got to give a shout out to Marcus Smart as well. He had some good moments in this game. I think he was a big part of why they were able to stay afloat. But again, I mean, Jaylen Brown, 0 shots in the fourth quarter. Very confusing. And I think that's something that we've got to keep an eye on going into game seven as well.
Yeah, Boston's got to do a better job keeping him involved. You know, I thought he was doing a good job of getting into the paint and kind of creating for other guys and things like that. But they got to do. I have a problem with their offense and their randomness, as they like to call it, yeah, in that sense. I just think they need to find. They need to have a selection of plays they can go to in the fourth quarter to dial up for Brown, because he's been too important for them, and for him to just not get any shot attempts is a problem in the fourth quarter. Worked out for them. They got a win, and Tatum came in at the right time, but man, they're playing with fire with that.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The other game that we saw tonight, we won't be seeing the Game 7 in this series.
Hell, we barely saw a Game 6.
We barely saw a Game 6. Me and Mo were texting during the game like, all right, so you want to start like halfway through the second quarter and go ahead and get the ding going? This thing was over basically from the opening tip. I mean, Denver versus Phoenix, I didn't even see the final score. Denver a lot, Phoenix not as much. It was the second year in a row, Mo, getting destroyed in your house in an elimination game. I mean, just a very rough night for the Phoenix Suns. Season comes to end. Obviously, they've got circumstances they're dealing with. Chris Paul out, DeAndre Ayton being a scratch today after dealing with the rib contusion. But just, man, just a very rough place for the Suns to be tonight when you thought they had a chance to push this thing to 7 with the way KD and Book have been performing these playoffs.
Yeah, I just think it's a matter of they just did not have enough bodies, right? The trade for KD hurt them in that it hurt their depth. On top of that, you know, then KD goes down, so they don't even get enough time to get reps with him before the playoffs. I think played a total of 8 games for them before the playoffs. And you know, that was split with like a couple of games, then twists his ankle on a weird wet spot situation, and then kind of shows up before the end of the season. So this team never really got to figure out the right ways for them to play and how to work. And as plug and play as KD is, and I'm one of those guys that screams it, put KD in any situation, he'll figure it out. They just didn't have enough time to do that. And then you add in the Chris Paul injury, you add in no DeAndre Ayton tonight. Although I'll be honest, I'm off DeAndre Ayton. I'm sorry. I'm just done with that. I don't think he would have made a big difference for them. All those nice little finesse touches around the rim aren't going to do anything against Jokic. I just think it was just not enough time. They just simply don't have enough bodies. And I mean, that's how you end up wasting Campaign's career night, the night of Campaign's life.
Oh my goodness.
Ends with their season ending in a
that's what I was gonna say. We were talking about them not having enough bodies. They got 30 from Campaign in an elimination game. I mean, if I would have told you that before the game, Campaign would have gave them 30, you'd have been like, oh, we're going to Game 7 for sure. There's no doubt. But I think it wasn't just the lack of bodies, it was the amount of, you know, pressure they put on KD and Book every night. It felt like those guys just kind of ran out of gas, you know, towards the end of this series. Book, you know, goes, what, 4-for-13 tonight from the field. KD started off 1-of-10. I think just with the lack of, you know, shot creators and just threats on the court, it felt like they had to do so much every single possession that it was a lot to put on them. But I don't want to just talk about Phoenix. We got to give the Denver Nuggets some love here. Getting back to the conference finals, Nikola Jokic, 32 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists. He made sure he stayed in to get that triple-double at the end of the game.
I'm not happy about that.
We'll get to that. Let's talk about just the Nuggets making it here. You know, we talked before the season started about it's not about trophies anymore for Nikola Jokic, right? It's about performing in the playoffs, moving on in the playoffs, and he got it done tonight, getting them back to the Western Conference Finals.
I want to just kind of correct you real quick. It's about one trophy for Nikola Jokic at this point, the championship. That's it. The MVP, he's done it twice. He doesn't need it anymore, all that stuff. But this was an impressive performance across the board. And the Nuggets have been the best-looking team throughout the entire playoffs. I don't think that's even arguable. There's no way you can look at any other team and say this has been as consistent as the Nuggets. I mean, they're getting everything they possibly can from Jokic, even though he has to play extra minutes in a massive blowout to make sure they get a triple-double, which I don't understand why. but the, you know, Murray's been phenomenal with his shooting. You know, Michael Porter Jr., I want to shout out his defense, his effort defensively and what he's done this entire season defensively and as kind of a role player is phenomenal. Something I didn't think he had the humility to do. You know, I thought
he used to look lost on that end. Like he had no idea what was going on.
But not even that. Do you remember in the bubble? You used to complain about not getting touches.
Yeah.
And things like that. I haven't heard a word from him in that. I don't even remember him even speaking to the media. Maybe that's why he doesn't complain. They don't talk to him anymore. But like that, I mean, but I haven't heard anything. Any whispers of there being problems with him or whatnot. That's a lot of like humility right there. And he's really paying off dividends. Aaron Gordon's been awesome. Bruce Brown, KCP. I mean, just Christian Brown, like across the board, this team is just deep. And you look at them and you're like, man, I don't know if a team in the West can beat them. I think they'll have a challenge next series, either the Lakers or the Warriors, but the Nuggets are just really solid.
Yeah, and I think that's the big story for them through these first two rounds. I think back in March, April, we were talking like, man, can they put, you know, seven guys in a rotation and feel comfortable about it? You know, can Michael Malone find a way to put some bench units out there that'll just be productive? And like you mentioned, that KCP was huge tonight. Bruce Brown has been massive throughout the playoffs. Christian Brown giving them quality minutes. So his rookie season coming off the bench, I think it's not, what's really been impressive with them is not just Jokic putting up huge numbers, and of course he's been playing at an MVP level, but they're getting contributions from everybody, and when they're playing that way, they're really dangerous. And I think, you know, going into the next round, you got to feel like they have a really good chance, whether they're playing the Warriors or the Lakers, to make it through and make it to the finals. I guess, how do you feel about their chances in that next round?
I mean, look, the star power and the name power is on the other side, but honestly, this team has looked the best throughout the playoffs. Mea culpa, I had to start. I probably wasn't a Nuggets believer even when the playoffs started.
I definitely wasn't.
And now I'm just at the point, like, I don't know if these other teams can stop them. I know there are things that they can do to make things difficult for the life of the Nuggets. I know they can make it a lot more challenging and whatnot. And I know the Suns are massively depleted and really are just a two-man team. But man, the way the Nuggets take care of business, the way they play through Jokic, and they have the continuity and understanding of what they want to do offensively and defensively, that's a tough team to beat, man.
And they're just a well-oiled machine on offense. It feels like even when they have a few minutes where they kind of slow down, then, you know, it's just like, man, they just get it rolling again. And I think that's what's so tough about them. You can never feel comfortable when you feel like you get a few stops. They just keep it rolling one more time.
And even though he lost his voice, Michael Malone has done a phenomenal job with this team.
No doubt.
And can they just get him a damn cough drop? For the love of God.
Please.
Like,
get the man some tea.
Like, seriously, man, like, what are we doing here? Like, his voice was just gone. Like, I felt like I lost my voice listening to him in those timeouts and things like that. But he's just done a great job, masterful in everything that he's done. I wish he did take Jokic out a little earlier. We just don't need to play with the injury bug here a little bit. That's the important.
The Suns were playing with their backups for like 4 minutes before Jokic came out of the game. Well,
I mean,
it's hilarious. I think you and I tweeted the exact same thing at the end of the game. Like, what is going on here?
And everybody's like, oh, Malone's old school or whatever. I said, no, if Jokic gets hurt, Malone's an idiot.
He had a moment earlier in the game where he caught a knee to the side of his knee or something like that.
A knee to the thigh, a little bit of like which was thankfully not serious. And I don't want anybody to get hurt. We want the playoffs to go off with a hitch. But you just got to pull your guys at that point. And I mean, it should have been everybody. It should have been the bench unit in the last, you know, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. I was just like, why is Jokic still in the game? Like, what are we doing here? Chasing a triple-double that's really meaningless in the playoffs is something that I just wish they didn't do. But overall, the job him and the Denver Nuggets have done, just absolutely masterful.
Yeah, let's get to Phoenix. You know, their season's over. Going to be a very interesting offseason for this group. Questions about Chris Paul, questions about DeAndre Ayton. I guess just how do you feel going into the offseason, what this team needs to do? Obviously, they're heavily invested in Devin Booker and Kevin Durant as their big two. I think beyond that, we don't have really any guarantees about what this roster is going to look like, but we know they got to make some massive improvements to get some role players around those guys. Just to look better in these type of series.
Yeah, I think James Jones has a real tough job on his hands right now. We know CP's contract's not fully guaranteed, but you have to make that decision, I think, by like June 30th. Like, I it's going to come very quick if you're going to make that a fully guaranteed deal. honestly, I think everything's on the table except for KD and Booker. And I'll just say this because I think some people are going to already kind of throw it out there. I don't think you can put this on Monty. Again, he barely had a roster for this entire playoffs. Like, that's a tough one to put on the coach. So James Jones is going to have to get creative with what they do. I'll be shocked if DeAndre Ayton's a Sun next year.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I think if you're going to build out the depth, I mean, that's the guy you would use to kind of turn that contract into two or three guys, right? I think that's the best route just to add some depth. But the question is just how many teams are going to be lining up to invest in a center making that much money, right? I think that's the big question.
Yeah, it was signed. It was a contract offered by the Pacers. I think you'll find places that will have interest in him. Listen, the draft lottery's next week. Once a couple of teams know that they're not going to be getting the generational center, they might be in the market of okay, well, let's get DeAndre Ayton, who was a former number one pick. Whether he plays like that or not, it's a different story, but at least you get to say, hey, we got the number one pick from a few years ago. It'll be interesting there with that. And he does have a lot of money, and it is a large contract. But I just can't – I think if they could turn – that contract into two or three really good rotation players for them, that helps. And then figuring out what they're going to do with Chris Paul is probably the next thing.
Yeah, I guess what would you do with Chris Paul? Because another postseason where, you know, he's hindered by injuries, he's not getting any younger. Like you said, a non-guaranteed contract for the next couple years. I know a lot of people will kind of circle that spot and say, man, I wish I can get a different point guard. But I don't know if there are a lot of options out there where you can upgrade that spot. I guess, how do you feel about that?
It's really a difficult and delicate situation. I think the honest thing is I probably would just... I'd probably waive him, pay the guaranteed amount, and then go from there. Cause I try to trade him if I could. And if there's an offer out there and maybe there's a team that's willing to kind of take him on and then waive him themselves so that they can kind of get off the money. But I don't know if cap space is what it used to be. Like, you remember the old days, man, just like, hey, go hand him to the team so they could clear cap space or whatnot. I mean, maybe that's the case. I don't know. It's going to be interesting offseason in terms of how they do it. I just think it's very hard. You can't rely on him. He's great, but you can't rely on him. And more importantly, this Suns team needs to play faster. If there's one thing we saw in the Suns,
that's what we saw.
They need to play faster. And CP's not a fast point guard. You know, and I think that's just he's not going to be the right guy for this group. They need a guy that could speed them up and help them go up and down. And also, be able to play through three or four playoff series. And I don't know if Chris Paul's going to be able to be that guy anymore.
Yeah, and you need some more three-point shooting, right? If your team's built around three dudes who want to shoot mid-range jumpers all day, it's going to be very difficult just to keep up with some of these teams who can make 15, 17, 19 threes in these games. So I think you got to find a way to spice up this offense. Like you said, get some younger legs in there. I'm not sure if this is the year where you get rid of Chris Paul. But I think for sure we're going to see some moves with that Phoenix team this offseason. But just congratulations, man, to that Denver team and pulling it off. A lot of people doubted them, including me. So I got to give them respect moving on. And now they're going to, you know, have a lot of people picking them to go to the finals here. Mo, I appreciate you doing this with me tonight, man. Go ahead and sign us out.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Ding, ding.